Welcome to The Laneway,
where we delve into all things health, fitness, lifestyle, and sustainable fat loss.
But coming at you with an unbiased, educational, and hopefully entertaining approach.
Welcome to a mini episode of the number one health and fitness podcast in the cosmos.
You know what? When you press record just now, I was like, I'm ready for a chit chat though. But this is not what this episode's about. It's going to be a short, sharp, to the point mini episode. And then we'll have to come back with a chit chat one later.
This one's a quickie.
Just make it quick, guys.
Just make it quick. Ash's four favorite words. There's room for both in life. And this one is a quickie about what we call PBs, which stands for
personal bests.
Which, I think when we first got together, you said is that right?
I was like, I just hit a PB.
It's a lifetime PB, I think, is what I recall hearing. Now, first and foremost, what's a PB? What's a personal best? Is this to do with your partner? Is this to do with your car? Where do you get a PB? What is it?
Where do you pick them up from? So, we talk about, often when it comes to training, we talk about progressive overload and we talk about being better than yesterday in the gym. Now, this is a really important piece of a puzzle to progress you towards your goals. Now, personal bests is basically being better than you were in the last session that you had by either lifting more weight or by potentially using the same weight, but maybe getting an additional repetition in by using that same weight. So essentially, you have gotten stronger.
So it's so one of the keys for continued muscle growth is progressive overload, as you just said, which literally means if you squatted 60 kilos today for 10 reps, next time you go to the gym, you want to aim to squat either 61 kilos or do 11 reps, just as two examples, which would be called progressive overload. You're progressively loading over each time that you train.
Over what you did last time.
Yeah, so love a load over. If you only did that same 60 kilos forever, your muscles wouldn't grow. An example of this is walking. Your legs don't grow every time you walk, because they're used to that. They've adapted to how much you walk, and realistically, you could double, triple, quadruple your walk. Your legs just wouldn't grow. They're used to that. You'd have to do something different to get the muscles to grow. And that's the same as if you squatted that 60 kilos every single time, it would just maintain. So one of the keys to muscle growth or fat loss or toning or reverse dieting is progressive overload. And not the only way to track it, but an amazing way to track it, is by tracking your PBs. So if you did do 3 sets of 10 squats at 60 kilos, and then the next time you did 3 sets of 10 at 61 kilos, that would give you a personal best. You now have a new PB, and that would show up as 1 PB. And you would note that
in
your weekly win tracker, and that would tell you that you're using progressive overload. Now, do they go on forever? Will I get PBs forever?
Generally speaking, no, not forever. Like, there is going to be a limit in your life to how many PBs that you will receive. And I feel like this is the only way to really explain it.
I'm looking forward to this because I have no idea what's coming.
You've heard this before.
Okay.
But you can't just keep getting stronger. Because if you did, now let's say today you squat 100 kilos and every day you get stronger in your squat, eventually there's going to come a time in your life that you're going to be able to squat a car.
Or a caravan.
Or a house or whatever, right? Like, that's impossible. So, of course, there has to be a point where you're not going to obviously get any stronger in that, but that is something that I feel like don't even think about. Like, even till this day, Brad and I will get a PB in some description. The other or some way, shape or form, the other thing that, you know, like, it depends on where you are in your training career as well and what your focus is at that time, that will differ the PBs. But yeah, no, they're not going to go on forever. Like, what, how many PBs do you generally get in a session now?
I would say more often than not, I get 0.
Yeah.
However, you know, maybe one in every three sessions, I might get one or two PBs.
Yeah. I'm pretty similar. Like, probably one or two. Hey, if I got three or four in a session, I'm like, holy moly, that was a good session.
Yeah. Now, there's an algorithm in our app that tracks PBs in more than just one way.
Yeah.
So that's important to say as well. It's not literally just only if you add weight or only if you add rep. It will also add up the total volume that you did today in your barbell back squat. So 60, if you did three sets, that's 180 kilos. If you, you know, so it'll, you'll get PBs for total volume, you'll get PBs for quite a lot of different metrics or variables that are all part of the algorithm in the app. And really, these matter most, PBs matter most at the start, because it's a great way for a beginner to understand that they're progressing.
Totally.
Once you get to the point where you're no longer getting a great deal of PBs, which might be, I would say, 2 to 3 years into your journey, if you're lifting, like, let's say you did train with Ash for 3 years, and I use that as an example because you'd be doing everything right. You'd be getting enough protein. You'd be supporting the lifting with enough calories for at least half the year or more, and you'd be phasing, going through the phases, periodization with your training, so a correct training program and correct nutrition to support that. Probably 2 to 3 years for most people until they start to taper off down to where they are for you and I. Now, that doesn't mean gain stop or whatever. There's other strategies such as earlier this year, both Lani, Coach Lani and Coach Aaron went into a surplus. You'll get more PBs in a surplus because you're growing more muscle than what you would either at maintenance or reversing or main gaining.
Yeah.
However, there's a time that PBs may go down that is not at the end of, like, towards that 2 to 3 year mark.
There's a couple of reasons why this might happen. And one, and I'm only going to bring this up first because if you, because this has happened to both Brad and I, if you're injured or if something happens where it forces you to go back in weight, right? So that's obviously going to happen. And then, I mean, you can't get upset about it. Like, I spoke about this on my Instagram the other day. My squat is back to like 35 kilos now since I got MS, right? So that's like my new benchmark. Brad at the moment, like, he's like the one person that can do the most killer pull-ups. He cannot do one pull-up now with his slip disc. Like, he's got no strength in one arm. So this is one instance, right? Now the other instance, and I think this is so important to remember, if you're wanting to peel back your technique and really like unlock perfect technique. Let's say, you know, you've had a pretty good squat, but there's something happening in your squat. There's some kind of breakdown in your squat.
Maybe you want to go deeper.
Maybe you want to go deeper in your squat, right? Peeling back the weight and building, rebuilding your squat from the foundation up, from your new level of deepness moving forward. I make up my own words.
Yeah.
Just like I make up my own words in songs, exactly the same way.
Just go deeper.
Just go deeper. So that's obviously going to mean that your weight is going, you're not going to get a PB technically in the app. But that's the other part to it. There is obviously measurable ways for personal best, but there is also unmeasurable ways to get a PB, and that's by improving your technique, having better range of motion, more depth in your squat as well. So yeah, this happens too.
Two other times that you may notice that you're not able to progressively overload as much, aka PB as much, will be cycle related and calorie related.
Good points from the male.
I'll leave the cycle one up to you, even though even though I do feel like at times I get my period. I'll leave that one up to you. I'll cover the calorie part. When you are in a calorie surplus, or you're reverse dieting, or you're main gaining, or you're maintaining, this is an area where you can grow muscle, depending on where you are in that range. So if you're just maintaining, yes, you can grow some muscle. If you're main gaining, which means a little bit of a surplus, you'll grow more. If you're reverse dieting, you'll grow more. And if you're in a proper surplus, that's when you maximize how much muscle you can grow. So if we have a line, if you hold your hand up in front of your eyes right now so that you're going to give someone like a like now down low, too slow, right? If you're the person that's about to slap their hand. Above that line is a surplus. Anything above that line is amazing territory for personal bests. However, let's say we drop below that line into a calorie deficit. When you're in a calorie deficit, you are losing both muscle and fat. There's no way to avoid it. You will lose both of those things. There is a way to maximize the amount of fat you lose compared to muscle, so you're retaining as much muscle as possible, which is what we do in Train with Ash. However, you're still going to lose some muscle. So if you're at the bottom of your calorie deficit, you've lost 10 kilos on the scale, two of that might be muscle. If you've got less muscle, then it's fair to assume you're not going to be as strong as what you were when you're at the complete opposite end of that spectrum. Not only will you have a little bit less muscle, potentially if you're towards the end of your, this is particularly towards the bottom of your calorie deficit, it's also fair to assume your energy may be lower, your mood may be lower, and your overall outlook on how much life sucks may be higher. And these
much higher.
So these are physical and physical, but also mental. So physically, there may be a very good reason why you can't lift as much or get as many PBs, but also mentally, even just knowing, sometimes you can have a nocebo effect, and that can immediately make you lift more. Now, your one is cycle related, which I always like to give the disclaimer, don't put the cart before the horse.
I'm with you.
But I'll leave that to you.
So there is some anecdotal evidence that suggests that where you are in your cycle will impact your training. Now, there was a recent study that came out that basically just tells all women that it's all in your head and that
there's a study.
It's a bit of an uproar. But
can I ask a question? The study, who published the study?
Probably a man.
Male a female. Okay.
Someone that doesn't have a cycle, probably. No, look, the suggestion is prior to ovulation that this is your strongest part. This is where you're basically on steroids and you'll be lifting the world, right? You'll feel your best. You've got the most amount of energy.
Testosterone.
You've got a lot of PBs happening in this phase. Once you surpass ovulation, then in that back end of your cycle, on the way to obviously the last 2 weeks into on that way to getting your next period, that's when you're usually cranky, you don't have as much energy, generally hungrier, and your training sessions are trash. So this is kind of a guideline though, because not everybody is impacted like this. On occasion I am, on occasion I'm also not. So I think it's like Brad just said, don't put the cart before the horse. I think it's really important to know that also, just as a human, you are also really good at your mind playing tricks on you nearly. And you can buy into things, right? We all have our own bias and it can be my training session's going to be shit. And if you say that, it will be. So I think it's really important just to be aware that if you do have a trash training session and, you've showed up anyway, don't get down on yourself. And, maybe it could be the reason that you're in the back end of your cycle, you don't have as much energy and you are feeling quite weak. That could generally be the case. And be okay with that. But also, it's really important not to buy into it too much and be like, oh, I'm going to have a training session that's so shit, because you absolutely will. Regardless, what's the saying, the old Zig Ziglar saying? Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're 100% correct. Mm. So I think it's important to obviously take note of that, be aware of it, but yeah, try not to buy into it all that much.
They've done studies, and I'm going to share one with you. There was a woman that had an allergic reaction to the pollen in flowers. Her throat would inflame, close up. She would get itchy. She would get a rash, and she'd have difficulty breathing anytime she was around flowers. So they tried everything they could to fix this woman. And I'm paraphrasing, but anyway, She comes into the doctor's office one day and the doctor pulls out a flower and sits it on the desk in front of her. And immediately it starts. The coughing starts. The throat inflames. She gets ishy. She gets a rash. He inspects her throat. And yes, the throat has closed up compared to what it normally is. He then reveals it's actually a fake flower. It's not possible for this flower to cause these reactions because what you are allegedly allergic to is not here. We might as well have a plastic bottle on the table. She inspects the flower because they had done such a good job of making this look real for the purpose of this experiment. She inspects the flower and she goes, "You're right, it's a fake flower." And her symptoms disappear. She, from that day forward, was no longer allergic to flowers. Now, that's just one example of like a placebo slash nocebo effect. And as Ash said, it's weird calling you Ash, said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're probably right. And although I'm probably not the leading expert to talk on this topic because I don't have a cycle, I do believe it's really important to do this reactively. If you've never trained in the gym and I tell you that you're going to be weaker in the second half of your cycle, you have, your brain has like a prediction machine and you prepare yourself for it. I'm going to be weaker. I'm not going to lift as much. And that can automatically have a negative impact. Now, will some females be weaker in the second half of their cycle? Yes, they will. However, will some females not be weaker in the second half of their cycle? Yes, they will. This is not a 100% across the board. And so I always encourage ladies to try before you buy. Just give it a whirl. Aim for that PB. Push as if it's not happening and see, and then reactively start to, don't make a decision based off your first cycle. After three or four cycles, you'll start to see a pattern one way or the other and then base it off that pattern. And I only say base it because if you get third or fourth cycle and you realize, oh shit, I forgot that I'm in the second half of my cycle and I just hit an all-time max PB. What do you know? It turns out this doesn't affect me.
Or all of a sudden, it's a fake flower.
It's a fake flower, right? Or if you get to the third or the fourth and you're like, I've just noticed that this is the fourth time that I can't quite lift as much. Well, it helps you not being so hard on yourself. Mm. Instead of walking out of the gym deflated and thinking, I normally do 60 kilos because I only do 55. What the hell? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go into this Train Lash Facebook group, find out why my squat's not as high. This is horse shit. This is not right. At least then you're like, oh, it's some, you know, it's after ovulation. I'm in that phase. Okay, I might be one of these chicks that impacts me.
Yeah. So that's it.
That's
it. Is it? Did we cover everything?
I think we covered everything.
All right. Well, thanks for this cookie.
That's all right.
It was nice to have you. We'll see you guys in the next episode.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.